Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. It's Sunday. Owen Schroyer filling in. We're going to have Steve Plotkin at 5 o'clock. We've got a lot of reports coming from Alex Jones that we'll be playing as well. But first, let's go to this report from John Bowne on Operation Gotham Shield.
I continue to be much more concerned when it comes to our security with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
Power outages in San Francisco, New York, Frankfort, Kentucky, and Los Angeles. Coincidence, or were they part of the drill known as Operation Gotham Shield that will finally commence between April 24th and April 26th? Basically, a simulation drill and not the actual detonation of nuclear weapons will be underway. SHTF plan writes, during this exercise, four nuclear devices, two of which are rendered safe during the U.S. Department of Defense Vital Archer exercise, and one successful 10-kiloton detonation in the New York City, New Jersey area, along with one smaller detonation on the U.S.-Canadian border, are to take place. Among the organizations involved are the U.S. Department of Energy, the U.S. Department of Defense, U.S. Domestic Nuclear Detection Office, the FBI, FEMA, NORTHCOM, State of New Jersey Office of Emergency Management, the State of New York Office of Emergency Management, and the City of New York Office of Emergency Management. Of course, when an undertaking of this magnitude occurs, caution dictates that we are again reminded of the outcome of previous government agency drills held days before and sometimes the day of that mirror actual world-changing tragedies.
Nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings on such a massive scale.
But that turns out not to be true. U.S. military planners did envision and practice those very scenarios. As reported by USA Today, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, conducted exercises with fighter jets, simulating hijacked planes flown into the World Trade Center in the 2 years before the attack.
You are actually working today on an exercise that envisioned virtually this scenario.
Almost precisely. I was up until 2 o'clock this morning because it's our job. My own company, Visor Consultants, we specialize in helping people to get their crisis management response.
Witness number one approached an ATF agent nearby. He claims he asked the agent what had happened, and witness number one says this is what the agent told him.
He started getting a little bit nervous. He tried reaching somebody on a two-way radio. Couldn't get anybody, and I told him I wanted an answer right then. He said they were in debriefing. None of the agents had been in there. They had been tipped by their pagers not to come into work that day. Plain as day out of his mouth.
Oklahoma City paramedic Tiffany Bible, who heroically responded just minutes after the blast on April 19, 1995, swore in an affidavit. When she arrived, the BATF was in full mop gear, bomb gear that takes at least 30 minutes to put on. When she asked them, oh my goodness, were you guys hurt inside the blast? They said, no, we got tipped off by our pagers not to come in today.
It's true. Drills are held all of the time. However, adding to the concern is the occultic nature of Operation Gotham Shield. The term Gotham, an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning goat's town, and a nickname for New York City coined by legendary American writer Washington Irving and later becoming the realm of Batman, has significant Freemasonic influence, linking it to the 33rd degree worship of Baphomet.
All are worthy. Now you can say that again.
That is Bruce Wayne's grandfather, Mrs. Cooper.
His great-grandfather.
I understand he was tapped for Skull and Bones.
Tapped for it? Sir, he founded Skull and Bones.
This ceremony at Ground Zero, preceding the unwelcome construction of the memorial that would be blatantly named the Oculus, could very well be a clear Masonic reference to Aleister Crowley's Thelemic Third Aeon, known as the Age of Horus. According to Crowley, Horus is gradually growing from the idealism of 20th century chaos, i.e. communism, fascism, etc., into an age of human enlightenment. Yet, who has adopted this concept of the coming of the Antichrist as their own? None other than the puppet masters of the elite shadow government and their new world order.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
John Bowne for Infowars.com.
The globalists are panicking. They're throwing everything they've got at InfoWars right now and trying to destroy my name because they're desperate. They know the planetary awakening to their tyranny is accelerating. And the fact that they are now admitting that I'm enemy number one shows the fact that they understand they are imploding. As everyone has noticed in the national news the last 2 weeks, I am now being attacked as much as President Trump. Now you have to ask yourselves, why am I being attacked at the level that the president is? I mean, just 6 months ago, the president was being attacked 20 to 30 times more than I was. And I was the second most attacked person. Then it was Stephen Bannon. That is quite a scarlet letter to wear on you, isn't it? But I'm very, very proud of it. And I know that in the weeks to come, we'll be able to fully expose exactly why they're doing that. But here's the main reason. Even in their cooked polls in France, Le Pen is now ahead of the other 10 candidates. She's a nationalist. She's a patriot. It's the equivalent of Ron Paul about to be elected president of France. Nigel Farage is getting ready to run for the prime minister of England. His movement, his libertarian movement, that was pretty much launched by InfoWars, in his own words, our listeners in England, he's now sweeping Europe for nationalism and free market capitalism. I would have Nigel Farage on 15 years ago, and he would say, UKIP's been around for 10 years. Now it's 25 years. He'd say, you know, it's been around for a decade or so. Now, 25 years. And we didn't get any traction. But as soon as your show got popular in England, over the internet, and I did a lot of radio interviews in England, it exploded. That's not credit to me. I was just a focal point for you. You helped launch the nationalist movement for the Brexit that's now moving forward for the UK to leave the EU. You helped launch the nationalist movement in France that was already there, but that our listeners in France turbocharged. You get the credit. People like Matt Drudge get the credit. And the reason I'm giving credit here is so people understand why they're attacking us. Because we have power. We're promoting ideas of freedom. An elected government, not foreign, global, unelected corporate TPP, NAFTAs, GATS, WTOs, IMF, World Banks, UNs. Trump has a lot of problems, but overall he's a nationalist, he's returning power to America, and he's our president now, and America is now calling the shots for our country. Trump's foreign policy is one of engagement with our allies for U.S. interest and for mutual respect and prosperity. But America isn't controlled by the Davos Group and others now. And that's all over the news. Washington Post, Associated Press, the Davos man is dead, globalism is dead. They denied globalism existed just a year ago and said I was insane. But so many people researched it and found out that global corporate government was real, they can't hide it anymore. So now they want to destroy the leaders of the resistance. Donald Trump, Nigel Farage, Marie Le Pen, myself, and many others. And because I am flamboyant, and I do engage in satire and some things like that, they have picked me to take out of context, to demonize and destroy, to then demonize and destroy the rest of the movement. I'm the beta test. And if I fall, they believe other dominoes will fall. If Trump falls, they believe nationalism that's gaining speed and accelerating because of the fact it's based on liberty and justice and prosperity. They believe that will stop the domino effect of globalism's collapse. They're hitting the alarm button everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They know they're in crisis. So I want to encourage all of you today to realize the reason every major comedy show, every major late night show, CNN, Fox News, ABC, all of them are attacking me on every news show, every hour, saying nothing but pure lies, knowing I can't respond. Mainly because only The View, ABC News has been lying about me without calling, only The View and only Good Morning America and a few others have called us out of hundreds of shows saying, will you come on and respond to all of this, disinfo? No one else, we've even done tests at the office and reached out just to see, and they don't respond back. So they sit there lying about me and what I stand for and what I promote and what I believe in and saying on the news, did you hear Alex Jones says he's a total fraud, just like Donald Trump, and is lying to people? I've never said that. They have demonized me in little pieces where I did satire, like the Joker is one of the big ones. And I say, I'm playing the part of an evil guy to illustrate secret testing on the public. But, you know, the Joker in Batman lore is famous for putting stuff in the water and cosmetics and stuff to poison people. So that's the character I chose over the years to play a few times to say, oh, look, oh, drink the fluoride, take the shots. They go, oh, you believe in all this? You believe in fluoride and shots? And I go, I'm being an actor there. They go, oh, my gosh, we've got you. I know you as a thinking audience understand that's a fraud. But they're trying to brand the people that haven't found InfoWars yet. They're trying to psychologically brand InfoWars with branding. That we're this big fake thing like the Onion because we're not fake. We've educated people. You've educated people about globalism and how it really works. And so that's why they're so upset. That's why they're so scared. That's why they're coming after us. And I know you as an audience know that, but understand this. Now more than ever, stand up for InfoWars. Point out the fact that they hate us because we've exposed thousands of real news stories and had the will to be demonized and not care what happens to us to get the truth out. And support us. Spread the link. Spread the video. Spread the articles where we are exposing false flags in Syria, or we're exposing what Kim Jong-un's up to, or we're exposing the unelected TPP and educating the public so Trump can vote to kill it. We've come so far together. We're battling to keep the economy turned on as the globalists try to kill it. We're battling to tell the truth about the good things Trump's doing, and we're battling to be loyal opposition to expose the bad things he's doing. They hate us because they know we're not controlled. They know whistleblowers are getting us intel every single day that's changing the world. They know we'll go with the stories that others are too scared to publish, like Google admittedly censoring conservative news. We got the secret documents 2 weeks ago. Cernovich was confirmed accurate again, and Google admitted they were doing it, didn't they? And it's over and over and over again. You can trust me all day, but verify what I'm saying. Never believe me, and never believe MSM. When I tell you that it's in the Obama bill, that it has death panels, doubles prices, and doesn't let you keep your doctor, and that the architects of it are bragging that it's meant to ruin regular health care, Ezekiel Emanuel and Jonathan Gruber are on C-SPAN saying that. You can search engine them admitting the plans to destroy regular health care and bring in a total corporate system with single payer where they can charge you whatever they want. Again, 99% of what we cover is totally verifiable and documented, and that's why they hate it. That's why they're so scared. We call MSM out on their lies, and it's because they're so discredited and so hated and so maligned that they now believe they've got to demonize us and try to destroy us because the fraud can't exist while the real thing is there. So the fraud is saying we're the fraud. The imposter is saying we're the imposter to destroy us, and then hoping somehow they can reverse the tide of the public's awakening. Mainstream dinosaur media has a 6% approval rating in an AP and Gallup poll. You go look at online surveys, we've got like an 85% approval rating. On Google, we have 97% average YouTube votes up. Everybody knows that. That's why they're freaking out. That's why they're so scared. That's why they're doing this, because they're desperate, because they're jokes, and they know they're frauds. So I want to thank you all for your continued prayers, your support. We have a lot of great products we sell at InfoWarsStore.com, where we directly fund our operation. You've seen them take our sponsors. Please pray for us. Please pray for justice. Please pray for peace in the Middle East and the Korean Peninsula. And even if you don't believe in God, at least go out and speak out for peace and stand up for what's right. No matter what color you are, where you came from, whether you call yourself a conservative or you call yourself a liberal, let's all really promote truth and justice and not buy into the distortions and stereotypes that the MSM puts out against myself and others. Come to InfoWars.com for yourself and actually listen to myself and other great reporters and hear the diverse group of ideas from our guest, where we're not all just agreeing with each other in some cult, but we're trying to build a better world. Again, I want to thank you all for your years of support. All of you out there, you know who you are. I'm Alex Jones, and we're under attack because we have hit the zeitgeist. We are over the target.
And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation. It's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, right now they're trying to take back France for the French people instead of the immigrants that want to invade. Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show on a Sunday. And the latest news, of course, with the French election being that Macron and Le Pen have advanced to the runoff, which will occur next month. Of course, you're already seeing the early polls. Macron will win this, Le Pen will win that. Who really knows until it all is said and done? But, you know, I'm reading all these stories, and it's so funny. I keep seeing Marine Le Pen being labeled as the far-right populist. And they use this vernacular as a demonization type of thing. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, why is this a demon? Why are you demonizing a populist? Why is it bad to be a populist? That's what's popular. That's what most people want. That should be a good thing. A populist leader would be a good leader, you would think. But no, when it's Marine Le Pen, the populist, it's bad. And they always say far right. Far right. Far right. Far right. Far right. Alt right. This right. 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 I've never claimed right or left or anything like that. But this is the Overton window that we see politics through. But you know what? It's funny. It's like, here's what the far right really is. It's we're by so far right that we're the far right. So we are by so far right compared to the left that we are the far right. It's not left and right directional. It's we are so much more right than them. And you read these stories. Here's what the defeated conservative candidate Francois Fillon said. Extremism can only bring unhappiness and division to France. As such, there is no other choice than to vote against the extreme right. Wait a second, though. The division in France. Think about this. What's been going on in France? What has been the division? What has been in the news? Okay, well, you've had rioting happening in strong immigrant areas. Okay, so there's some division that comes from leftist policies. And then you've got the uprising of the French citizens that are sick of those policies, which has caused more division. So that's more of the left causing the division. But according to the quote-unquote conservative candidate, Fillon, no, that's the division that's going to be brought by Le Pen, even though she's not the one that's been in power while France is being divided and having people, you know, being victimized by terror attacks. No, that's the policies of liberal leaders. But this is a typical leftist liberal who just doesn't live in reality, just refuses to play ball on a reality playing field. Now, if Le Pen wins, she will be the first female president of France. So you would think, wasn't there there was some sort of a march for women? I remember a woman's march, was it? Was that what it was called? Funded by George Soros. That's right. The woman's march. All these women. I mean, they made it clear, though. Let's be perfectly clear, folks. This wasn't an anti-Trump march. They made this perfectly clear. Even though anybody with two eyes could tell this was completely an anti-Trump march, the march wouldn't have happened if Trump wasn't elected. But nonetheless, let's pretend that we believe the liars of the left and that this woman's march was because we just want to empower women. We just love women. We want to see women rise up in the world. Then these 1 million women marchers must be going crazy because Le Pen is winning, right? They must be celebrating, popping bottles, getting ready to do more marching and more celebrating. Where are all of these women? Where are the million women that did the women's march, not against Trump, but for women? Where are they? This wasn't a political march, remember? The women's march was not about politics. It was about women and empowering women and women being free and women's rights and women coming up in the world. So they must be loving this, that Le Pen right now could become the first president of France. It's not about policy with these people. The women's march was not about politics. Don't try to tell me it was. So then all those millions of women, I'm sure, you know, they, it wasn't an anti-Trump thing. They just wanted to see women come up in the world. So they're going crazy right now in joy because Le Pen is becoming or could become the first female president. No, they're not, are they? No, they're not. And once again, the left turns out to be complete frauds. You know, it's funny. They always turn out to be frauds, don't they? Remember Al Gore? Remember this guy? You know, Al Gore has a, some $9 million mansion, zero solar panels. Why does the left have to be a complete fraud every time? I mean, every time. Whenever I cover these people, at the end of the story, it always gets stamped with fraud. 1 Million's Woman March, fraud. Not for women, totally anti-Trump. But see, but they can't play it like that because that doesn't virtue signal to all the women out there. See, that failed during the campaign when they tried to smear Donald Trump with all these false accusations, when they tried to smear Donald Trump with all these old Billy Bush tapes. Ooh, didn't work, did it? So they had to do the Woman's March. That didn't work either, did it? Now a woman is actually coming to power in France and they're silent, nowhere to be found because they're all a bunch of frauds. And I'm being polite by only pointing out to their fraudulent behavior. We know that they call themselves nasty women. On the other side of the aisle, Macron would become, is it Macron? Macron, I don't know, I'm not French, but Macron, it just sounds so weird. I sound like an idiot when I'm saying it. 39-year-old maverick eyeing French presidency, he would be the youngest. So either way, this is a serious changing of the guard in France. Whether you like the politics of Le Pen or Macron, either way, this is a changing of the guard. And I think that that's the true story that comes out of the first results from the French election is that it's a changing of the guard. The old politics of the left are not working and the French people are done with it. So we will have either the youngest leader of France or the first female leader, and all of the women that marched at the Millions Woman March are going to be very, very happy, I'm sure. Oh, and they're calling... They're also, the far right, she's so by far right, they're also saying Marine Le Pen is a Europhobe. A Europhobe. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you were afraid that the Euro was going to become a more powerful entity than your sovereign nation, then I guess that you could be labeled a Europhobe. Yes. I guess that that's actually fair. Like I said, they push all of these... They're supposed to be insults, all of these terms to demonize Marie Le Pen. Far right, because she's so by far right. Populist, as if populism is a bad thing. Europhobe, yeah, because she wants France to be sovereign. So all of these terms that they try to paste onto Marine Le Pen are just, well, actually, I think they're kind of compliments, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I agree with most of them. I would say, yes, far right. She's clearly right. And yeah, she's clearly populist. This is clearly what the people of France want. Yes, and she doesn't want the Euro to take over France, a sovereign nation. Oh my gosh, what a Europhobe. We can't have Marine Le Pen. We have to have a million women march against Marine Le Pen. More from Alex Jones on the other side.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Science is real, is complete and total fake science. And if you understand that, you understand their entire globalist program. The Club of Rome in the 1960s was a powerful consortium of international elites. Much of their private corporate meetings was declassified in the late 1990s in a congressional data dump because they'd been interfacing with the Energy Department and different Senate and House committees. I exposed this in my film Endgame. That's Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It's free online if you'd like to go watch it. It's about 2.5 hours long. Shows the documents highlighted from their internal publications. And the Club of Rome, financed by the UN and others, said, we want to promote that humans are bad and have a system that tax energy worldwide.
Now, I'm going to get into some new Sandy Hook information here today. Newtown, the massacre. I'm going to break it down, some of the new developments and what's been happening in the media. And the first thing I want to play, though, before I get into this, to kick this off, and I'm going to get back into Donald Trump later, it all ties together, is Madeleine Albright on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl 15 years ago, saying 500,000 Iraqi kids dying was a reasonable price to pay.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
It's a good price, it's worth it. That's 500,000 Iraqi children. The 1991 war was wrong. Turns out Saddam was a CIA operative who was ordered to attack Iran in the Iran-Iraq war, ordered to attack Kuwait, given the green light. U.S. ambassador told him it was okay. Because we all know they got us into that war saying babies were in incubators and got thrown out on the floor and their brains kicked out. And that was by a young lady who was a PR firm daughter, 15 years of age, in acting lessons, who'd never been to Kuwait. Now, what's the new Newtown info, and how does this tie into the tragic event that happened on Obama's watch? The media, since day one, has said that I said the attacks never happened. When you can go and find myself and Rob Due and everybody else that works here on air in more than 7 debates we've done with both sides, people that think the official story was exactly as that happened, and former top school security training experts, law enforcement folks like Wolfgang Halbig, saying he believes nothing happened. Quite frankly, I've said I don't know the truth. But if you've got a government caught lying about WMDs that causes wars that kill millions of people and hundreds of thousands of children from starvation that Bill Clinton intensified, and people that launched fraudulent wars against Syria, all based on lies, and they do this over and over again, I don't want them to sit there and shake their finger at me like I'm a demon that doesn't care about children being shot in mass shootings. There have been, and I'm not exaggerating, 5,000 articles, because I can look in Google News, type in Sandy Hook, Alex Jones, and do an aggregate search the last year. Over 5,000 articles saying, I believe that the moon landings never happened. They'll probably clip that out. I do believe they happened. They falsely claim that I say the moon landings never happened. They don't show a clip. They claim that I believe that the Loch Ness Monster is real, stuff like that, okay? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a week. And here is Patient Zero article we found. Donald Trump and the amazing Alex Jones, New Yorker magazine. This has got to be the most plagiarized story in history, because I looked at everything from the LA Times, the Associated Press, to everything else I've ever seen with Patient Zero. And they all lift the exact paragraph and don't even change it. This is the most crazy thing I've ever seen. Now, look at this. September 11th attacks. Jones' amazing reputation arises mainly from his high volume insistence that the national tragedies such as the September 11th terror attacks, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, and the Boston Marathon bombing were all inside jobs, false flags, or ops secretly perpetrated by the government to increase its tyrannical power and in some cases seize guns. Jones believes that no one was actually hurt the Sandy Hook. Those were actors, and the Apollo 11 moon landing footage was faked. So here are these holier-than-thou people when we question CNN, who supposedly is at the site of Sandy Hook, and they've got, in one shot, leaves blowing and flowers that are out, and you see the leaves blowing and they go, they glitch. They're recycling a green screen behind them. You've got, who's the female lawyer used to be on CNN? Fake Southern accent, whatever. She's on there with cars driving in a cul-de-sac in circles, and you see it's the same cars going in circles. And then we've got Anderson Cooper, famously, not just with the flowers blowing in a fake, but when he turns, his nose disappears repeatedly because the green screen isn't set right. And they don't like to do live feeds because somebody might run up. CNN did that in the Gulf War and admitted it. They just got caught 2 weeks ago doing it in supposedly Syria. Then the green screen cuts out and they got, you know, phones ringing. And all we're saying is If these are known liars that lied about WMDs and lied to get us into all these wars and back the Arab Spring and Libya and Syria and Egypt and everywhere else to overthrow governments and put in radical Islamicists, if they do that and have blood on their hands and lied about the Iraq war and were for the sanctions that killed 500,000 kids and let the Islamicists attack Serbia and lied about Serbia launching the attack when it all came out later that Serbia didn't do it, how could you believe any of it if you have a memory and you're not Dory from Finding Dory, you know, the Disney movie? Thank God you're so stupid. Thank God you have no memory. It all goes back to that. And, you know, here's the good thing. They've miscalculated. Every time media creates new hoaxes against us and says we're the devil, we're the liars, we're the scum of the earth, people go research and they find out it's not true. And we've never seen the traffic to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com we now have got, not even during the election. Why is one headline we have running for this on Facebook, "The Vampires of Sandy Hook Exposed or Revealed"? The vampires of the corporate media. Whatever happened there, one way or the other, the truth's usually in the middle. But they say, don't let a good crisis go to waste. That was the White House chief of staff when Sandy Hook happened. There's emails from Bloomberg the day before to his national anti-gun group saying, get ready to move tomorrow. It should be investigated. All I'm saying is you should investigate what really happened. Most fake mass shootings, they have shooters and then kill a patsy. We know that's happened before. They've been caught before. False flag's a household name. I tend to believe that's what happened. But real mass shootings happen. I'm not saying real kids didn't die. We've entertained the idea because the majority of people online don't believe the official story. Because they've been lied to so much and seen our government launch wars that kill millions on lies. So would they kill 20-something kids? Why do I call these people vampires? It's because they've been caught lying over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to get us into big, bloody, bloodthirsty wars. And they make jokes about 500,000 dead kids. And Hillary makes jokes about, I came, I saw, he died. So you destabilized a first world country, the only one except for South Africa and the continent of Africa. And the whole thing falls apart. And then you're up there never getting in trouble. And John McCain's meeting with the Al-Qaeda ISIS rebels. And they destabilize that country. We overthrow our allies in Egypt and put ISIS and Muslim Brotherhood in charge there. They blow up basically every church in the country. Our media won't even say when Islamicists are attacking us. And won't even call it Islamist and say Trump's crazy when he says it's Islamist. And all these serious things are going on and you sit there posing like you love everybody while you're pushing abortion, while you're pushing infanticide, while you're pushing euthanasia, while you're pushing this death culture with Bill Gates saying, if you kill an old lady, you can hire 10 teachers. Understand that and understand there is a hit out on InfoWars to assassinate my character by lying and creating a artificial Alex Jones, a straw man that is not me, that is an imposter to go out there and misrepresent what's happening and what's going on and what's unfolding.
Corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Science is real, is complete and total fake science. And if you understand that, you understand their entire globalist program. The Club of Rome in the 1960s was a powerful consortium of international elites. Much of their private corporate meetings was declassified in the late 1990s in a congressional data dump because they'd been interfacing with the Energy Department and different Senate and House committees. I exposed this in my film Endgame. That's Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It's free online if you'd like to go watch it. It's about 2.5 hours long. Shows the documents highlighted from their internal publications. And the Club of Rome, financed by the UN and others, said
We want to promote that humans are bad and have a system that taxes energy worldwide to fund a corporate world government. We also want to be able to stifle certain countries, corporations, and individuals from developing and using what we call disruptive technologies, zero-point energy and things like that that they knew were theoretically possible even in the 1960s. And, of course, were discovered in the 80s, and the media discredited all that in the 90s. It's been now proven everywhere, but it's just you never hear about it because it was a non-sequitur, non-starter. You're not supposed to, you know, talk about it. But there are hundreds of different types of advanced technologies that have been developed on energy, communications, you name it. They get shelved. That's incontrovertible. That's admitted. So the Club of Rome said humans have a life force. Humans have a will to survive. Humans have a will to innovate. How do we make sure under a new feudalist system, because that's the elite's favorite system, is have everybody else dumb and poor. They have technology. They have advanced systems like life extension. You don't. So how do we bring in neo-feudalistic serfdom? That's their term, neo-feudalistic serfdom. You might want to go read what they said about you. They admittedly, David Rockefeller funded China and Mao as an experiment. Good God, 100 million plus dead people, 80 million under Mao. So I've actually, not a pseudo-intellectual, I've actually read the Club of Rome publications, hundreds of them. It's a periodical put out every month. I have read the CFR reports. You can read these. These are all public. Where they said, we'll geoengineer with aerosol spray to manipulate the environment over certain countries. You can just type in CFR geoengineering. You'll get it 5 years ago. But again, people like Stephen Colbert and folks that pose as newscasters, that pose as actors, that pose as newscasters, they make jokes and say, Alex Jones is crazy. He says them things up in the sky. Or it's the other guy, too. He does it, the South African guy that does The Daily Show. Oh, my God, look at them jets are spraying on
Trevor
me.
Trevor Noah.
Yeah, Trevor Noah. What is that up there? That's condensation trails, Mr. Jones. As if we don't know those aren't ice crystals. We have thousands of declassified documents, Department of Energy, admitting that they've got a $5 billion a year program that's secret, but the program is admitted, for high-altitude aerosol manipulation of the atmosphere to protect us from global warming. And you can spend 30 seconds to just type in, CFR admits geoengineering. Bill Gates runs secret government geoengineering program. Bill Gates can control hurricanes. You'll get MIT. You'll get Associated Press. You'll get Daily Mail. So that said, you have George Soros who funded the Women's March with all these Islamists putting hijabs on women. And then it turns out the other mark saying hand over your tax returns was them. This is all in the news. A weirdo Nazi collaborator with billions of dollars he gives, you know, every few years to this. And they also fund as if their science, anyone that disagrees with them is against science because they speak for science. They've been saying for 20 years, nobody disagrees with man-made global warming but kooks. But the Club of Rome thought there was about to be a cooling cycle looking at the different sunspots and talking to astrophysicists in the 60s. So they said, let's promote global freezing. So anybody alive then knew they were saying ice age by 1980. We need a global tax to cut carbon or we'll freeze to death. They were saying, actually, accurately so, looking at some of the models, that more carbon would actually make us colder because it blocks the sun out. But then that didn't happen. So then they say, oh my God, it's global warming. And it did kind of heat in the 90s. And then for the last 17 years, it's been slightly cooling because of sunspot activity going down, solar flares going down. This is all admitted in major, you know, astrophysicist publications. It's not debated the sun's the main driver, ladies and gentlemen. And so they said, oh, now it's climate change. If you don't believe in that, you're anti-science. I 100% believe in climate change. Change is the only constant. But again, they misrepresent what we say and what we do.
We think there ain't no such thing as ice crystals from jet wings.
Yeah, we do. See, they built straw men. We want to know about the admitted giant aerosol program that we've noticed hadn't been going on for the last 3 months. Little birdie told me somebody was going to kill that program. That's why they're so pissed, folks. Take a look at that sky right now. Never used to see that. Now we see that almost every day in Texas, just like before 1992, when a Nobel Prize was given to a group of scientists for a plan to add to jet fuel aluminum dioxide and barium salts, as well as barium, to create nuclei to create and darken the Earth. And you can Google, the Earth is 21% darker, the Earth is 30% darker, 20%, 21% was a decade ago. Now they say it's 30% darker. BBC, Reuters, with satellite photos of the trails blocking out the sun. But suddenly meteorologists started announcing that, a lot of meteorologists also have been on the news, said it's chaff. That's their old term for it, meaning metal. Well, yeah, but it's much smaller chaff. It's microscopic chaff, not chaff to block or create fake radar trails when your jets are coming in to drop nukes, but micro chaff to actually create nuclei to form condensation where it shouldn't be. But it is condensation. But it's toxic condensation. You have oxygen, you have carbon dioxide, you have sunlight, you have water. Those are the things you need for life. And everybody knows sunlight isn't bad. Everybody knows oxygen isn't bad. Everybody knows water isn't bad. So they chose carbon dioxide because it sounds like monoxide. And then if you tax that, then you can tax the entire life cycle. And again, the Earth is at the lowest level of carbon dioxide in its entire history from ice cores that are millions of years old. You can say, oh, well, it went up a little bit in the last few decades. Yeah, it went like this. Bounced a little, but still going down. Mars lost its atmosphere because it lost its carbon dioxide. They've done the samples now. There used to be water all over it. It lost its atmosphere. The Earth has the thinnest atmosphere it's ever had since the beginning of the planet because the volcanoes aren't as active anymore, and they aren't putting out all the new gases to replenish the gases of our atmosphere. It's like biblical that we found the oil right at the time in Earth's development when our atmosphere began to get lost. And I sit here, and I see them on the news every year go, hurricanes are the worst ever. You can actually go to the National Weather Service and it says, lowest amount of hurricanes the last 5 years. But see, they think you won't check that. Just type in, lowest amount of hurricanes since the 60s, actually, in the last 5 years. But every time there's a hurricane or a dust storm, they go, it's the end of the world. Every time there's an ice storm, no one ever went through an ice storm. And of course they did. And again, they're selling a solution of putting taxes on all of our activities and carbon dioxide when only Europe and the United States and Australia have to pay the carbon taxes. China and Mexico and India and hundreds of other countries, over 160, are exempt. And the globalists have deals to move our jobs there, and they get control of the steel mills and the factories and the power plants that the globalist families own, and then they shut us off so we can't compete. And the one thing Trump's done that's absolutely key is say that's not happening anymore. And let us have our coal back, our clean coal power plants. Still can't compete with the dirty plants, but it's better than nothing. Said that we're going to have small business tax cuts. That's why there's a lot of exuberance back in the economy. He's been delivering on that. He shouldn't be going after Snowden, who helped get him in office. That's a whistleblower, not a leaker. It's exposing criminal activity. And Trump's wrong on a lot of other stuff. And it's a sad thing to see, but the globalists still hate him because he's actually an American president trying to do something real and trying to transfer power back to Washington from the globalists and back to the states and the people.
And just to be clear, I'm pretty sure that Alex meant to say Assange and not Snowden, because it does appear that the Trump administration is targeting Julian Assange right now. Something I agree with Alex on. I don't think that Julian Assange should be the target. You know, other people have theorized that Assange has tried to work out a deal with certain Western intelligence agencies or powers that be, couldn't get it done, and thus led to more leaks like the CIA Vault 7 leaks. But, you know, the video was talking about fake science. Here's some fake science for you. Whenever I talk to the global warming people, whenever you talk to people who want to push global warming out there and push that narrative, you notice how when they talk about it or they talk about their science or their reasons, they never mention geoengineering. They never mention chemtrails. Think about it. If you're spraying this stuff into the atmosphere, they're talking about things in the atmosphere causing global warming, but they just completely ignore that. That's fake science. You're ignoring one of the factors. We'll be right back with Steve Plotinic.
Now, I am supporting Trump because he's getting our economy turned back on and is an American president and is returning power back to Washington from unelected globalist combines. That does not mean I agree with a lot of what Trump's doing. If we had a liberal Democrat that was a real president and a nationalist and was returning power back to Congress from the IMF, the World Bank, the TPP, the UN, the WTO, I would back them, even if they were wrong on almost every issue. Now, with Trump, he's not as bad as that. He's more of a populist, very liberal in many ways. But I've seen a drumbeat the last few days all over mainstream news that Donald Trump is insane because from afar, they say he's a narcissist and a chauvinist. So I didn't know that a man believing in a man being powerful and strong was a mental illness. But under their mental illness criteria, it's now thousands of pages long, they've added over 100 new mental illnesses in just the last decade. In fact, if you oppose big, out-of-control government, well, you've got a opposition to authority mental illness. Now, psychiatry and psychology is about 200 years old. It started in Germany, in Prussia, and then in London, England, openly to control populations. Hitler used it in the first groups that he killed. They would have a psychiatrist say that the child was mentally ill or had a problem. They would just give him a lethal injection. And the parents would be told they died of some natural causes. That's all public. That's all known. No one debates the political use of psychiatry by authoritarian regimes. The Nazis, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire before that, the Weimar Republic, the British Empire. They had a guy that invented lobotomies, would drive around and fix, you know, troublemaking mentally ill people that jumped around and fought back. He'd stick an ice pick in and gouge out the frontal lobe of the brain. Let me tell you, there was never any trouble from them again because they were in diapers. So like anything, like guns, they can be used for good or bad. The system of psychology, psychiatry. There's a lot of stuff in there that really is true. But it's already research and things people done before put into a grid that is psychology or psychiatry. That's what's happening. Now that said, the Republicans, here's the Daily Mail, it's also up on InfoWars.com right now. Republicans hit out an unethical psychiatrist who claimed Donald Trump's a dangerous mental illness. Now, did they say he was a paranoid schizophrenic? Did they say he was a psychotic? No, they said he's a narcissist who's also a chauvinist. I didn't even know. I looked it up. Chauvinism's not even a mental illness. I guess they're going to make that. So this big psychiatric meeting at Yale University, where Skull and Bones is based, by the way, I should add. That was another German, Prussian. I think it's Germans. I'm part German, but there was another order. And they come in and say they can see from a distance that he's narcissistic and displays antisocial narcissism and chauvinistic tendencies. They believe are grounds for impeachment. So the priesthood says our vote doesn't count. 25 researchers, who all met before and agreed, of course, made a drastic breakaway from the ethical standards by meeting at Yale University on Thursday to discuss evidence questioning the commander-in-chief's mental health. Because he doesn't care what they say. He doesn't care about the polls. He doesn't care about bull. He believes in what he's doing. Some of it, I believe, is wrong. But nevertheless, that's why they're so pissed. They don't control him. They were unanimous in their conclusion that the president suffers a combination of personality disorders, which they, the priesthood, are adding new ones every few weeks. The psychiatrist defended the move. Let's get Steve Pachinik on tomorrow if we can. I'm going to play this on the radio show tomorrow and have him on. The psychiatrist defended the move by stating it was either ethical responsibility to warn the American public about the dangers Trump poses to the country. Speaking of the Daily Mail Online, they insisted the president display of antisocial, narcissistic, chauvinistic tendencies that they believed are grounds for impeachment. Well, thank God you're there. No judge, no jury. Thank God we've got the German brainwashing soldier program called psychiatry to tell us how to operate. You were one of the cartoons and stuff, like the psychiatrist is always a German. Oh, look, you teach them now. It will be quite easy to do it. We will make the population submit to your mind, Führer. Just telling you where it's coming from. The Republicans have come out and just said this is totally unethical, totally insane.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer here with you, and as Alex requested in that last video, he wants Dr. Steve Pachinik on, so we delivered. And Dr. Steve Pachenik joins us now to talk about the story that Alex just covered. The headline on the Daily Mail: Republicans hit out at unethical psychiatrists who claim Donald Trump has a dangerous mental illness. You know, it's funny, Dr. Pachenik, to have this story going out there when I think that there has been a lot more evidence of mental illness on the side of the anti-Trumpers than out of Donald Trump. But Dr. Steve Pachenik, what were the first thoughts that came to your head when you saw this story?
Well, the first thoughts that came to my head, number one, let me clarify who I am in psychiatry. Not only am I board certified, but I've been a board examiner for 10 years. So if Dr. Gilligan or any psychiatrist had come in front of me and declared that Trump was mentally ill because of their observations that they just made, they would have flunked their boards. In other words, they wouldn't have become psychiatrists. And I have literally flunked over 60% of psychiatrists who passed their written exams and have not passed their orals. In effect, these people have no idea what they're talking about. Number one, not one of them has ever been with a president of the United States, let alone five presidents. Not one of them understands the specific dynamics of a politician, which entails the following three elements. One is narcissism, which is healthy and says, I am important. We have that. Those psychiatrists have it, because otherwise they wouldn't be speaking out and they wouldn't be so grandiose as to say dare to warn or duty to warn.
Yeah, listen to us.
That's correct. So they have that narcissism, they have that grandiosity, and they have that paranoia that something will happen. And that's quite antisocial. Now, I can use all of those three elements in psychiatric terms and make sure none of them ever pass their exams in psychiatry. However, what they're trying to bring up, and they do it in a fallacious manner, is that they do not understand what the politics of and the dynamics of a president is all about. We had a very sick president of the United States. Unfortunately, we never talked about it, and that was John F. Kennedy, who had Addison's disease, certified, bona fide Addison's disease, absence of adrenal gland, was on amphetamines, on steroids, on drugs on a daily basis. Now, I say this as a Cornell University medical school graduate whose teachers were, in fact, the ones who treated him and warned me that this man was quite dangerous and psychotic and really had no idea what he was doing. As a result of his inability to deal with reality, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Then we had the nonsensical stories that cover up his history of ineffectualness and dysfunctionalism, calling it Camelot. So in effect, most of these people who work for Dare to Warn or Duty to Warn have no idea of the dynamics of presidents. Woodrow Wilson was sick while in the last year of his presidency, and the presidency was run by his wife. FDR was sick. He forced anybody who took a picture of him in his crippled chair to be arrested or incarcerated or taken away. Now, the notion of using, and Alex is correct, the notion of using psychiatric diagnosis for political ends is very dangerous. My first assignments under the Nixon administration through the National Institute of Mental Health, where I was very high up, was in fact to go to the Soviet Union and release Christian dissidents who were political dissidents, happened to be Christians, but were diagnosed as sluggish schizophrenia. Now, what's happening now in Dare to Duty or Duty to Warn, they're putting psychiatric terms in a very dangerous ideological format. The Russians did that. The Soviets did that. We had to break it apart. We American psychiatrists broke it apart to eventually take down the Soviet Union. Well, now, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and let's be clear, too. I mean, if we're going to sit here and start pointing fingers at politicians who might have, you know, mental problems, I think the fingers should be pointed first at the likes of a John McCain, a Nancy Pelosi, a Maxine Waters. It's amazing how they just completely forget all of that. And then you have all the stories that develop on Hillary Clinton's health. She's got gaps in her tongue. She's coughing up things into cups. She's having, she can't stop coughing. She's fainting. No coverage on that. Now, all of a sudden, though, it's Trump that has a mental illness. And what I think is going on here, Steve, is, and this is the type of thing we see with lawyers, with the ACLU, it's the same exact thing. You have people that are using their title and using their status to spread slander by my opinion, by my estimation, with this most recent development with what they're accusing or trying to allege of Trump.
I would agree with your last point that, in fact, this is slanderous. If I were Trump and if I were he, I would sue them because it's triple damages. Then they would understand what it means to be in a court of law to present a diagnosis, which is one, incorrect. Two, he has no mental illness, because even if he is narcissistic, even if he is grandiose, even if he has delusion, you know what? He has built a multi-multi-billion-dollar business. He has built 15 years of television, outstanding shows, and he became president of the United States. There is no jury in the world that would accept the diagnosis of mental illness. There is a jury of the Ethics Committee of the American Psychiatric Association that should come in and indict them for malpractice and a violation of the Goldwater Act, which means that no psychiatrist, including myself, can make a diagnosis about a man's mental health illness or a woman's without having interviewed that person. Now, I come back again. I'm sure that most of them, if not all of them, have never treated a politician. I mean, a congressman or a senator. If they had, they would understand that the basic underlying dynamics of going into politics, even into movies, even into literature, one is narcissism. Two is the notion that you can become greater than you are and you want to be greater. That's grandiosity, but that's healthy. The third is, if you're in a hierarchical system, you are concerned about who's around you and who's going to do what to you, backbiting. That's called paranoid. Now, every one of those psychiatrists who became chairman of the department or became the head of some institution or nonsensical title had all three elements. And if they don't see it within themselves, they've got a problem. Now, we have generals and we have other people around him who, in fact, talk to him all the time. A mentally ill individual would not have 20 different people to whom he talks to on a daily basis for his opinion. Is it true that maybe he's not certain of his job? That may be so. That's not mental illness. Is it true that being president of the United States is kind of an overwhelming role? I would agree with that. I've seen that in many presidents. Is it true that when you're president of the United States, you become a little insecure? That's correct. Is it true that you have to lie at times in order to protect the republic? Because Winston Churchill says a nation must hide behind a bodyguard of lies. So if these therapists knew anything about political science, which they don't, that's why I went on to MIT and Harvard to learn psychiatry and political science. And we have specialists trained by Eric Erickson to teach us about the dynamics of politicians and world dynamics. None of these people are qualified. They've never had that experience. They've never been close to the president of the United States. They've never been overseas. They've never created a Camp David Accord. They never took apart the Soviet Union. They really don't understand anything other than their own narcissism and their own sense of grandiosity. And that's what we call projection. So if they want to continue this, I strongly suggest the Ethics Committee come in from the American Psychiatric Association, if they have any guts, and start to question each one of them. Then I would strongly suggest that the Trump family sue every one of them for slander and see what happens. Then you will see how psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers, who are basically meek in terms of their own careers because they're afraid to take risks, they go through and they write their own little books of narcissism that nobody ever reads, and then they go out and make a statement which is absurd. He is not mentally ill. He never will be mentally ill. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't take drugs. I'm sure that's a lot more than the 41,000 people who signed up for this nonsensical group.
Dr. Steve Pachinik is on fire. We will be right back. Alex Jones Show on a Sunday.
To an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
You know, The practice of law has not really been functioning around justice. It's been functioning around the law and legalities. And we're getting away from a justice system and a law system. And I'm seeing the same dynamic happening in the field of psychology, where, especially with this stuff, it's not about mental illness. It's not about addressing mental illness. It's about diagnosing everything. They just have to have a diagnosis for everything, even regular behavior, and then they want to make it out to be a mental disorder. Dr. Steve Pachenik is still with us. And you know, doctor, when I think about this stuff on a bigger scale, I think back and I remember this was probably about a year ago, they started pushing this narrative out there that they want to have these mental background checks, you know, so before you can get your gun, you have to have a mental background check, and they have all these new things that they might say that you have a mental illness, so you can't get a gun. And then, of course, there's the old lingering story where they want to say that conspiracy theorists have mental illness. Well, eventually, they're just going to say we're all conspiracy theorists and nobody can have a gun. That's kind of how I see the overall picture. But let's get back to the point about these people targeting Trump right now in what we're both kind of measuring as slanderous statements against Donald Trump's mental health. I mean, do you think there's going to be any retraction of these statements? Are they going to have to suffer any punishments, or what do you expect?
I think they're too arrogant and ignorant to retract it. And let me tell you why I think they're totally ignorant. Forget the psychiatric part where I said it was incorrect diagnosis because he doesn't have a mental illness. Three of those elements, narcissism, aggrandizement, delusion, even paranoid, are consistent with anybody's personality who's in politics, the theater, movies, or books. But what makes it ironical is that they're so stupid, this group, and so arrogant that the Yale Medical School had no idea that the first book ever written about psychiatry and personal and politics was written at Yale in 1927. That's how stupid Yale is. And that's how dysfunctional that medical school is. The man's name was Harold Laswell, L-A-S-S-W-E-L. He was a man who taught me. He taught Lucien Pai, all from Yale, Ithiel de Solopool, in 1960s and the 70s about how psychiatry and politics goes together. But they're so stupid at Yale that I would, if I were Dr. Prince or Price, the head of HHS, I would decrease their funding. I would go into the Yale Medical School and clear out that entire medical staff because they're so arrogant, they're so ignorant, that if this is what they're producing, they shouldn't be functioning. If they didn't know that Harold Laswell was the father of the field of political psychiatry and psychology, they are dumb. They're just plain arrogant and dumb, as well as Lucien Pai, all the PhDs that we got. That's why psychiatrists, psychologists, and mental health professionals failed repeatedly. That's why I flunked over 60% of them. I trained at Harvard, and they were terrible at Harvard. And most of these psychiatrists have no idea beyond their own navel what really goes on in the real world, in the political world, in the international world, other than their own narcissism. And with a left-wing ideology or a right-wing ideology, it doesn't matter. Stupidity finds an ideological purpose. But understanding and having a sagacious mind means that you have to learn something other than your own narcissism and your own belly button. So that they didn't go out of their way to look up in the Yale Medical School and the Yale Social Science Department, Harold Laswell was the father of this entire field that I'm in, political psychiatry and psychology, where Lucien Pai, Richard Solomon, and seven or eight of us graduated with PhDs, and we became the deputy assistant secretaries under Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Carter, Bush, so on and so forth. So what you have here is the arrogance and stupidity of a group of people, whether it's on the left or the right is irrelevant. But collectively, you see how dangerous they are. And in a way, Alex, which is correct. When they have this groupthink and they're dysfunctional, they go to extremes. And when they go to extremes, they do exactly what you said, Owen. Everybody has a mental illness. I happen to have been a senior official at the NIMH in the 70s when the American Psychiatric Association and Mel Sapson called me in and they wanted to develop the DSM-1, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual 1. And I warned them, if you keep doing this, you will have a book 5 and 6, which they have now, where everybody, but everyone will have a diagnostic illness category so that you can make money. Because the real issue in psychiatry is how do we build a patient if we're doing psychotherapy 45 to 50 minutes a day? That came out of the psychoanalytical school, and it came out of Freud. And where I was trained by analysts and others at Harvard who had no idea how to commoditize their time. So what happened was the American Psychiatric Association became money hungry, affiliated themselves with all the drug companies, and I left. I left because I found that they weren't, there was no integrity, there was no basic gravitas, and the intellectual basis of that institution was failing. That was true of psychology, where we saw the involvement, the American Psychological Association, in the 9/11 interrogation of so-called terrorists. And they charged us millions of dollars. These were inept psychologists who got contracts from the CIA. So what really has to happen is the investigation of psychologists, mental health worker, and psychiatrists, and let's reverse the entire system to find out exactly what they know, exactly what they do not know, and how dysfunctional they have become. That's what I would do if I were in power. Because it's time to turn the table and say, okay, let me see what you know. Let me see what you're capable of. And in my opinion, very little. They push drugs. They have no other idea. And one of them, Gilligan, thinks he's an expert because he treats violent people in a mental institution, Bridgewater. I used to send patients from Mass Mental Health to Bridgewater. That's not a qualification for anything in terms of politics or in terms of world affairs. I ran the St. Elizabeth units for the criminally insane as well. That didn't put me in the position of understanding the various presidents, the vagaries of political systems, and the dynamics of them. In fact, what you've seen is stupidity writ large.
Well, I actually studied psychology when I was at college, too. And I remember at the university I went to, I had a professor that said, look, take the DSM with a grain of salt. They change it every year. There's a huge consortium of people that are just working with pharmaceutical companies to try to push drugs down our throats. You just broke that down in the most cutting edge fashion as it can get. But real quick, Dr. Pretenik, what does it say about these people's entitlement where they're obviously upset with the results of the election, whether it be they liked Hillary, they predicted Trump could never win, whatever it be. Clearly, this is just in response to them not liking the results of the election. They think they can just make these claims. They can just make these claims and have them stick because they're upset over an election result. And you're telling me they're not mentally ill?
Well, I don't think they're mentally ill. I don't think any of them are mentally ill. I said Donald Trump is not mentally ill. And I don't think any of those people who made those statements. What they are is arrogant, dysfunctional, inept, and highly discredited. They're very clearly inept in terms of understanding ideological differences. And so they use the only weapon they have, which is to categorize people into mental health categories.
We'll be right back.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
You know, Dr. Pretenik, the reason why I got into psychology and why I still appreciate studying it is because I really feel that you can make such a better judgment of situations and people and everything, just understanding psychology and health and how people operate. That's just a general statement, but this gives you so much insight. You have a lot more experience with all that. In fact, you've written a book, and you wanted to talk about that now. You wrote this book, I think the crew told me, some 30 years ago, The Mind Palace. Tell me about this book, and tell me about why it's still relevant here today.
Well, I'm amazed that it's relevant today, but 33 years ago, when I was in the Soviet Union, I was working in the 1970s under the order of the National Institute of Mental Health and President Nixon to go into the psychiatric hospitals in the Soviet Union, and particularly in Moscow, what was called the Kachenko Psychiatric Hospitals, where dissidents who happened to be Baptists, Anabaptists, Christians, were diagnosed and given a diagnosis which never existed called sluggish schizophrenia. That's very much like these people who are now calling Trump, who doesn't have mental illness, something who he's dysfunctional and antisocial. Absolute nonsense. But the Soviets used it in such a way that they didn't have to bring him, as you would say, through the court system in their system. So we were able, I and others who were involved in taking down the Soviet Union, we were able to go to the Kachenko Psychiatric Hospital. I negotiated with the last doctor who worked with Stalin to get dissidents out of the Kachenko Psychiatric Hospital and commoditize them with Wang computers. Now, what do I mean? In order to spare the Soviets their indignation, and I didn't want to hear about their human rights abuses, I said, look, if Mr. X is here, it happens, he's a dissident, I'll give you 5 Wang computers. In those days, we had Wang. For another person, I would give you 4 Wang computers, and so on and so forth. We got hundreds of dissidents out of that psychiatric hospital. But just like what they were doing in Dare to Duty or Duty to Warn, this is very dangerous to walk into a political system and use psychiatric or psychological diagnosis to incarcerate people and to designate them as mentally ill. The Soviets were brilliant at it. Eventually, we were able to take down their country because of their weakness. I warn those who do this, and I'm part of that group, that if you don't cease and desist, you will see exactly what will happen to you is what happened to the Soviet Union. I don't know who funds you. I don't know who's backing you. But clearly, you're way beyond your own capabilities, and you're in a field that you know nothing about. You were never trained in national character. You were never trained in international relations. You never worked in the executive branch, either in terrorism, counterterrorism, or intelligence. And you really never understood the dynamics of politicians. Having said that, that's a clear warning to these people that they're treading very dangerous grounds, politically, economically, and elsewise.
Well, and you make a fair comparison there between Soviet communist practices and practices that we're now seeing from what I would call the political left. That's my words, not yours. But I'm just curious, just real quick, could we get into this? Because I think it might help people understand a little bit more, myself included. What was the motive? Get in more to the motives behind the Soviets wanting to bring in all of these dissidents and claim all these mental disorders.
It's a very good point, Art. The key point is just what they're trying to do with Trump. In other words, in order to avoid the legal system, even within the Soviet Union, where we in the United States and in the intelligence community and elsewhere, we could track where the dissidents were. They hid them under a mental label that was called sluggish schizophrenia, never existed in worldwide psychiatry, and they were able to shuffle them from one hospital to another, interrogate them, use all kinds of techniques to make them, to kowtow, to be able to frighten them. And using that system, they were able to break the dissidents. Now, I don't think Putin uses that now. I think the Russians don't use that, but that was used in well into the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s until we took it down. Now, what I'm warning the left and the right, if you use mental illness as a way of discrediting someone who you don't like ideologically or for whatever reason, you better be careful because you're treading on dangerous grounds. You then will be culpable for malpractice, for ignorance, for all kinds of professional violations, which have to do with the Goldwater Act, when the whole group of psychiatrists decided that Goldwater was paranoid because they didn't like his particular ideology on the right. Now, it comes to you and me, Owen, and Alex Jones, where we're called conspirators. That's fine. Yeah, I'm proud to be a conspirator because 9/11 was a conspiracy. Sandy Hook was a conspiracy. My training in intelligence and in those fields allowed me to say to the CIA, you pull this again and you see what happens. You see what happens when you get a Hillary Clinton or you get a Gaddafi or Libya, and you'll see how you'll disappear. So what I'm saying in effect is there are those of us who are far more sophisticated than this group of neophytes who think that they can do whatever they're doing, and we will make certain that they will pay a very heavy price for this. Is this politically motivated? Of course. Do they know anything beyond their narrow scope? No. These are so, they're so ignorant that I told you again at Yale University, that was the lodestar for national character, for political psychiatry, and that Ben went to MIT. Yet they had no idea what they were talking about. I would look at the NIH grants or NIMH grants that go to Yale Medical School in general, and I would be very careful to assign them any kinds of major funds, because repeatedly they have come up as a problem. In Sandy Hook, it was a psychiatrist at Yale that created this Adam Lazarus, some character that never existed. It was an RN psychiatric nurse who corroborated that the man who never existed was involved in Sandy Hook and killed 22 people. So Yale Medical School and Yale University is a real problem. What they have done in effect is to bring the heat down on them once again because of their arrogance and their ignorance.
Yeah, I'm sure that you're not going to hear it for that last Sandy Hook statement. But going back, you know, you talked about the communist Soviets. Basically, it's a 1984 soft disappearance with this, you know, claim of a mental disorder that they were using to silence dissenters. But, you know, it's funny because you also made some very powerful statements when talking about these psychiatrists, breaking protocol to make these accusations. I'm seeing this all across the board. To be honest with you, Dr. Brchenik, I'm seeing this from lawyers. I'm seeing this from politicians. I mean, by my measurement, if you're out there spreading, whether it be fake news about Trump being a mentally deranged, or whether it be fake news about Trump being a Russian operative, or fake news about Trump harassing this woman or that or the other thing, all of that to me is slanderous. All of that to me needs to start getting hit with lawsuits. I'm just curious, do you really think that this might be the one to break the back of all of these people that, in, by my stretch, have been breaking the law and need to have something come after them? Do you think this is finally the one that will break it, or is this just going to get shoved under the bed like the rest of it?
I think you've hit on something quite important. If I were the Trump family, this is the one that I would hit them with. And this is the one that I would ask Republican senators and congressmen to get together and call a hearing and bring in the Dr. Gilligans and Garnett and Lilly, all those people who are so certain of their diagnosis, to explain to the American public how they came to that diagnosis, what made them qualified to say it, and give them the airtime to sink themselves and to show how pathetic they really are in general. That's what I would do. I would then sue them, and I would let Trump do whatever he wants. But honestly, I would want them in front of the public. I want them in front of Congress and the Senate. And I would want Yale Medical School to explain why they continuously have these hearings, although they disavow any affiliation. That's disingenuous. Yale University has repeatedly been in trouble with all these false flags and the Careys and the Bushes and all that nonsense that Alex correctly said about Skull and Bones. But more importantly, Sandy Hook and other elements, where I think it's time that Yale be examined very carefully. There's an old French saying which says...
That's Dr. Steve Brchenik. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Final segment.
The globalists' great error is to believe that as they collapse humanity, they end up on top. The truth is, humanity is coming down fast, but we're miles above them on our journey to hell.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, because of your support, we are able to get the great guests like Dr. Steve Brchenik. And InfoWars is going live almost. We do about 20 live broadcasts a week now, thanks to your guys' support by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Alex is so grateful that he has let the Easter Mega Special go on for a week past Easter, folks. You got to take advantage of this. This is absurd that it's still going on. But these deals, 30% off, BrainForce, 25% off, a number of other select items. Make sure you check out the Easter Special. Real quick, though, I want to give a plug to the Alexa Pure Breeze, our air filter, that I just got recently in my home. Let me tell you, this product is amazing, folks. You can really notice a difference in the air quality in your home. And then it has this amazing automatic setting. If you open the door and close it, it kicks back on because it realizes there's bad air. I put out some bad chards into my trash can. It kicked on because it recognized the bad air. If my pet does its, you know, duty, it kicks on because it senses the bad air. It's really an incredible product. It really freshens the air in your home. take a look at the ElectroPure Breeze for the best air filters out there. Let's go back to Dr. Steve Pachenik. Final segment here, Doctor. You know, I'm just going to kind of make a half-hearted statement here, but what I'm seeing, a lot of this ridiculous rhetoric that comes out of the left is a direct response to the fact that they're losing and that our rhetoric ticks them off so much. For example, one meme that caught a lot of fire over the last political presidential election was liberalism is a mental disorder. So now they want to go point out everybody else has a mental disorder. Those are my words, not yours. But Steve Pachenik, final words on this story. The psychiatrist trying to label Donald Trump as mentally disabled and unfit to be president.
Clearly, it's non-professional and it's absurd. But the most important thing I think the audience should realize is, number one, we're still in the process of a second American Revolution. Trump got in. We put him in there. Some of the things he's doing, I really don't like, but that doesn't constitute mental illness. I mean,
that shows that you're sane, actually.
That's correct. I mean, he's doing things that I don't particularly like, but there are things he does that I do like in terms of the taxes.
Yeah, just a real interjection. It would show mental disorder. I think it would show you have a mental disorder if you just agree wholeheartedly with anything an individual does. That, to me, shows a sign of mental disorder. But back to you, Dr. Pachenik.
Mental disorder was very obvious in John F. Kennedy. I mean, the intelligence community knew it. The military knew it. We all knew it in the political science arena that he had a serious mental disorder, but it didn't look like that because the system was able to say that his tan wasn't part of Addison's disease, a pathology. It was the fact that he was a sportsman and could run around in Cape Cod, which was nonsense. But let's go back to the key issue. Number one, there'll be uncertainty. I understand that. Number two, we seem to be approaching two different conflicts. One is North Korea, one is Syria. My suspicion is that both our military generals, that is General Mattis, Kelly, and McMaster, all three of them will prevent a war. But what they're doing is signaling in through the movement of troops and through a presumed airstrike that we will not tolerate any kind of bullying either on the part of North Korea or on the part of Syria. Now, the warning I have for our administration has nothing to do with mental illness. It has to do with my having been in Syria and being interrogated by Bashar Assad and having understood one thing about Bashar Assad. He will never leave. So our attempt to get rid of Bashar Assad is wasteful. It's at the same time dangerous because Bashar Assad and the Assad family, they're Alawites, but they protect 2 million Christians. I've said this repeatedly. If Bashar leaves for any reason, millions of Christians will be slaughtered. I warned that in terms of Egypt with the Coptics. They didn't listen to me. There were 20 churches that were burned, eventually 200 churches. Then I warned about our invasion into Iraq. I said that the Assyrians will be slaughtered. They were slaughtered. I am warning now to the people in the Trump administration, do not go in and take out Bashar Assad. The CIA is wrong. They have no understanding of what this is about. I've been involved with Bashar. I fought against him. I fought against his father. But if you take him out, I will guarantee you hundreds of thousands or millions of Christians will die. Now, that's the type of concerns that I have in this administration. The second concern is I don't want to see Jared Kushner or Ivanka Trump in the White House. That's not of interest to me. I didn't vote for her. I didn't vote for him. I voted for Trump. If he is uncertain, then let him appoint others. But I certainly don't want the panoply of Goldman Sachs investment bankers, many of whom I know about and have never created a company, never taken a risk on their own, and got fat doing nothing. Now, how do I know that? I was managing director of Gitter Peabody. I took it down and I got rid of $600 million. So if Goldman Sachs thinks they can run a government, they better think again. So what I'm saying to our people, the people of the Alex Jones, the people of the InfoWars, they call us conspirators, they call us right-wing nuts, whatever they want to call us, we have to continue to make sure that our word is heard, and we feel very strongly that Trump may not be going in the right direction. That doesn't mean he's mentally ill. That means we don't agree with what he's doing.
And that's a very important point, because we put Trump in office. We, not the media. See, the media is confused about that. The media thinks they can take Trump down. They didn't put Trump in office. They can't take him down. down. We put Trump in office. We will decide where the ship goes. Real quick, Dr. Shepachinik, I want to get your take on a couple things before we get you off here. Now, we know that the narrative that the Democrats tried to play during the election was that Trump was either being working for or in collusion with the Russians and WikiLeaks. Now, since then, obviously, you mentioned Syria, but the Trump administration, the United States, is now pivoted against Russia and now pivoted against WikiLeaks. How much of that do you think is brinksmanship, and how much of that do you think is the real deal?
I don't think it's the real deal. Number one, Julian Assange was very helpful to many of us in terms of the leakage. I think Pompeo is wrong as a director of the CIA. I don't know him. I don't think he has an intelligence background. He was at West Point, but that's not relevant to me. His deputy director was involved in the torture of many of so-called terrorists. I'm not happy about that. But let's go back into WikiLeaks. They were very important in terms of our revolution and getting Trump in there. The Russians had nothing, but nothing to do what Alex Jones, myself, and others who were involved, I will not name them, got involved so that Trump could be where he is. And he has to remember that. It was not the media. It was not the Heritage Foundation. It was not the Mercers. It wasn't even Bannon and Breitbart. It was Alex Jones and the InfoWar audience of millions of people who started not 5 years ago or 6 years ago. We started 14 years ago when Alex brought me on board to talk about 9/11. So that's the key that we have to run through.
So even though that the Trump administration and Trump himself has moved the chess pieces on the board into completely checkmating the Trump-Russia collusion and the Trump-WikiLeaks-Russia collusion, completely checkmating those. Do you still think they're going to go forward with those narratives despite the brinksmanship from Trump?
I don't think so. I think what will happen, that they'll dissipate. I think no one's going to indict Julian Assange for what? For helping us out? He has not been a terrorist. He has not created any damage. If anything, we should have made him a U.S. citizen. So I don't agree with the statements. The second part is very important. Russia will always be our ally. They were our ally in World War II. They took the brunt of the war, as Marshall said, Eisenhower said, and every other president knows that. Russia is not the Soviet Union. Putin has his own problems. Putin now knows he's got 82 districts where there's 600,000 truckers who are on strike and don't want to haul any of the goods through Russia. So he's got his own problems. He doesn't need to get into our situation. The problem was Hillary Clinton, and the book is correct. We had read it correctly. I said from day one, this was not a woman who understood strategy. She did not understand tactics. She was so arrogant and so ignorant of the moves that she should have made that she didn't listen to her advisors. Now, why do I say that? I said because if Trump could use the Twitter and Hillary had to spend $100 million and still didn't listen to her advisors, that's self-destructive. And it was obvious to me that she was self-destructive. And Bill Clinton even recognized that point.
Keep going down that road. Final minute of the show. Is this reverberating on the political left?
This woman who could have been the president of the United States, who should have been in many ways, who's not lazy, she's not stupid, but was so arrogant and so ignorant of what she had to do. Her arrogance totally self-destructed her. And she didn't even listen to Bill Clinton. And I watched that. And I said, this is one of the biggest mistakes in the Clinton administration. Because if she had listened to him, she might have won the electoral votes. But she didn't. And she didn't even listen to Dewey Square or any other consultants. $100 million went down the drain. It isn't that we won that successfully to Trump. It's that she was so self-destructive that it was obvious to me and others who developed strategy and tactics where we're not in the front line, but we were working with Alex Jones, that it was easy to hit her and her team. I couldn't believe that.
Steve Pachinik, thank you so much. We got to go. I think the same story, self-destruction leading to the end of the left. Alex Jones back tomorrow, 11 a.m.